The Force Field is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
From Charlotte, North Carolina, for IT service providers, it's The Force Field with Rick Savoia. And now, here is your host, Rick Savoia.
Greetings, providers. Welcome to the unofficial podcast for IT service providers, The Force Field. I am your host, Rick Savoia, and during the next half hour, we'll cover the news, views, reviews, and interviews born about the IT industry and the Force Field community. Our call-in segment is open to all listeners Saturday nights from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. Call 407-278-5698. That's 407-278-5698. Or you can call in via Skype at Savoia Computer if you'd like to be part of the show. If you own a tech business, I have a very important question for you. Do you have a business plan? Many tech-related businesses don't. I watch a lot of techs get into the business without a business plan. When asked, they say that they know what they want to do and how they're going to do it. They say they aren't planning to get a loan from a bank, so why go to the trouble of creating a business plan? Apparently, they think that a business plan is something you create as a formality to impress a loan officer in order to convince them that your business idea will work so they will lend you the money. It isn't something you actually need to run a business. It's just part of the process of securing a loan. Actually, that isn't the purpose of a business plan at all. Sure, it's needed for a loan and required reading for potential investors, but it isn't something created solely for that purpose. It is a document bankers and investors refer to that is supposed to be already there, a living, working roadmap for building your business. Let me repeat, the business plan isn't a marketing piece for investors, although it can be one. It is a blueprint for starting and managing your business. It is a tangible layout of your business goals and objectives, a method of putting your ideas on paper to flesh them out, and ensure that you have a clear vision of how you will proceed in your venture and what turns you expect it to take. It is a timetable for your business project and a roadmap of your goals for success. It isn't something to doodle up on a restaurant napkin and toss out with a dinner tray. It is something to write down, reference, and follow. It is your plan of action for success. I once had a client who is a perfect example of someone who did not understand the purpose of having a business plan. I spent a considerable amount of time and effort preparing a business plan for the client, only to have it come to naught. Sure, he paid me for doing it, but his sole purpose for the plan was to obtain a business loan. Yes, he got the loan, and as soon as he did, the business plan was put away and forgotten. If there was anyone who needed a business plan to follow, it was this guy. He's the type who tends to come up with an inspirational idea one day, implement it on day two, then decide it isn't really what he wants to do on day three, and by the end of the week has changed his mind completely, abandons it, and comes up with something else. He had some good ideas. Some of them had great potential, but he wouldn't really see them through. He would start projects before he planned them out and drop them before they had a chance to really develop. Needless to say, his business didn't do very well at all. This is not to say that a business plan has to be followed to the letter. On the contrary, you need to be flexible and change your plan as you go along. As I said earlier, it is intended as a living, breathing document that changes and grows according to the needs of your business. However, without a solid plan, you risk becoming like my former client, forever struggling because your business has no real direction. Today we're going to talk with an IT service provider who created a business plan, learn how he did it, and find out how his business plan helped his business become more successful. But first, let's take a look at what's going on elsewhere in the IT industry. Onforce released their Services Market Index for the third quarter of 2009, October 21st. According to the index, prices on work orders remained steady for the second quarter in a row. Break-fix service events declined slightly by 2%, while installs rose 4%, suggesting the market overall was stable. The Onforce Services Market Index Q3 2009 report is available for download at www.onforce.com/OSMI/Q309. IOBIT is giving away full one-year licenses of their Security 360 Pro anti-malware utility until November 11, 2009. IOBIT Security 360 is an antivirus and anti-malware program that detects and removes spyware, keyloggers, trojans, worms, and other malware. The utility is available in both free and pro versions, and they are basically the same program, although the pro version has more features. The free version is available to download for non-commercial use. The pro version includes full functionality and sells for $29.95. However, IOBIT.com is currently giving away a free one-year license for the Pro version until November 11th. To obtain a free license, go to db.iobit.com/license-free/win7-special-offer.php, download the trial, and submit your email address. If you're in tech support, you know how much time and money it takes to service customers or colleagues on site and in person. You probably also know that you can spend less time fixing the problem by using remote support. Well, the easiest and fastest I found is go to Assist Express, the remote support service from the folks at Citrix. With go to Assist Express, you can resolve issues faster, reduce your travel costs, increase customer satisfaction, and move on to another task or customer more quickly. I've used GoToAssist Express, and for months I've told you how it works great for me. I've told you about my experiences. Now I want to hear yours. I want you to try GoToAssist Express free for 30 days. For this special offer, you must visit GoToAssist.com/techpodcast. That's GoToAssist.com/techpodcast. Get the free trial, try it yourself, and let me know what you think. Work smarter with GoToAssist Express. NASBA is now offering a free 60-day trial version of security software from Kaspersky Lab for resellers. The software is intended for system builders, VARs, and integrators to pre-install in the systems they build and sell to their customers as a value add for their products. In addition to the free trial, special discounts are being offered on Kaspersky Internet security products to NASBA members through DNH Distributing. Resellers who have accounts with DNH can contact their DNH rep for details. Membership to NASBA is free for VARs, system builders, and other IT resellers. For more information, contact NASBA at www.nasba.com. And finally, Microsoft released Windows 7 October 22nd. Windows 7, the much-anticipated replacement to Windows Vista, was launched with great fanfare in New York City, and CEO Steve Ballmer called it, and I quote, an important day for the computer industry. Windows 7 is considered redemption for Microsoft from Vista, widely considered an unpolished and unpopular operating system outwardly shunned by home and business users alike. The new operating system is promoted to be, as Ballmer himself put it, and I quote, the way customers want it. Simpler, faster, more responsive. Within 24 hours after the launch, users reported problems installing Windows 7 upgrades downloaded from Digital River, with many experiencing error messages, lockups, and endless reboots. Okay, I know, that in itself is hardly unexpected irony. That's just one of those things that happen with Windows. Well, Ballmer also unveiled Windows 7 on NBC's Today Show, with the Windows 7 logo proudly displayed in the background on a laptop. On closer inspection, one could tell the laptop was Well, it was a MacBook Pro. Yeah. And that's the news in the force field. I am very particular about what goes in the force field, and I only promote products and services that I either use myself or would use if I needed them. This week I would like to introduce you to a new sponsor who I've been using myself for reliable web hosting to keep the force field online 24/7. GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's hosting plans are bigger and better than ever with 99% uptime, free 24/7 support, and no annual commitment. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much more. Here's the best part. As a listener of the Force Field, enter the code BLU101 when you check out and save an additional 10% on your web hosting order. You want reliable web hosting at a great price? Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply, so see site for details. That's GoDaddy.com. You're listening to The Force Field, and this is the part of the show I look forward to the most, as it is the opportunity to talk to my fellow professionals in the field. If you'd like to talk, you can call me at 407-CPU-JOY-8. That's 407-278-5698. Or through Skype at Savoy Computer. If you don't have Skype, simply go to the Force Field Podcast Episodes page at theforcefield.net and click the Skype icon located on the right sidebar. The download is free, the call is free, and the show is free. And you can't beat free. So call in and dare to enter the Force Field. One of the most important but overlooked and least understood tasks of starting and running a tech company is the development of a business plan. Pat Palmer knows the importance of business planning. Pat owns and operates The Computer Guy in Hampton, Iowa. We talked to Pat in a previous episode of The Force Field, and at the time he forecast a good year for his company in the midst of a global economic downturn. His forecast proved to be accurate. He continues to do well in spite of the current economy. Pat attributes his success to one very important component necessary in the startup and management of every successful business. Pat created a business plan. This week, we're going to talk to Pat, learn about his business, hear how he took a course in business planning, and find out how he created a plan for his business that helped him become more successful. As we begin with part one of a four-part series on planning your business. And we're speaking to Pat. Pat, welcome to the Force Field.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me back again.
Not a problem. We had a great discussion the last time. As a matter of fact, for those listeners who did not hear the last episode that you were in, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your business?
You bet. I'm from Hampton, Iowa. I own The Computer Guy. And I've been in business part-time since about 95 and went full-time in 2006. And just in July of this year, just the first of the month, went and moved my business to a downtown storefront location. So everything is going well so far.
Oh, great. Well, you know, Pat, when we last talked, it was in episode 28. That was the State of the IT Industry Part 1, I believe. And at the time, you said that you expected your business to continue to do well in spite of the downturn in the economy. How has business been since then? Is it about what you expected?
As a matter of fact, June, I had my best month of the year so far. So I wouldn't consider there's any rough month. Now, there was a Winnebago factory closed here in town, and I kind of expected a little bit of a dip from that, but really not as bad as I thought. But I've had my goal. I've only missed my goals two times in this year. So I'm not seeing it here unless there's something I'm missing, but I guess that's kind of the topic. A little bit of today's topic is more of the business plan and kind of keeping track of of where you're at.
And what do you attribute the stability of your business to, the business plan?
That, yeah, absolutely. When I went to, I took what is called the Fast Track, F-A-S-T-T-R-A-C course. I believe that's at www.fasttrack.org. It was offered by our community college, and it was for beginning businesses, but I never had had any sort of training. I really kind of felt like I was swimming in an ocean where I didn't know where I was. And so I took this class, and really it showed me where I was financially with a lot of different tools that they had. You know, I could see, I could track my monthly income, but just because you're making X doesn't mean you're saving Y. You know, they showed me how to calculate profit margin using your cost of sales and various things like that. So now, since I bought my folks' copy paper business, I can also calculate the profit margin on that so far. And, you know, you can see if your profit margin is 75%, then, you know, that's the 75% you have for other things. And so your business is only really costing you 25% to run. So it's really, really a lot of the tools that the class had for me, besides the business plan, that really helped me out.
Can you tell us a little bit about what the Fast Track actually is?
The Fast Track program is a program of the Kauffman Foundation. I believe they're out of Kansas City, but it's located at www.fasttrack.org. And our community college would offer the Fast Track course for your business, and then there would be a Fast Track advanced course called the growth stage. And so if you were going to expand your business, they would also offer that. Now, I didn't take the growth yet because they hadn't had it offered, but the Fast Track for Entrepreneurs is, if you go to the website, is what you're going to look at. And it's offered by a lot of community colleges, and it's taught by people who you might say have been there, done that. Mm-hmm. We had two excellent instructors. One was more of a retired person who just worked for the community college. And like I said, he'd been there, done that, and there wasn't anything you couldn't throw by him. And he would also ask, now at the end of everything, is this the focus of your business? What's your wow statement? You know, and various questions that really made you think if you needed to purchase a widget, is that really the best for your business? Will this help your bottom line? And gave you a lot of thoughts into that. So it's probably a little bit more than just the course, but the presenters really made the course as well, too.
So it's a little bit like SCORE, just a little more more like a class, more of a comprehensive class.
Yes, it was 10 weeks, and every week focused on a different part of your business plan. So when you got to week 10, you had your business plan done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you could just take it with you and go from there.
Yeah. If you break the business plan down, you have your executive summary, and that's usually what your banks or your investors or your people need to see. Or if you enter one of those business plan contests, that's what they need to see to be able to judge you and to have you go to the next level. That's where, unfortunately, I've been in business for so long that they didn't consider me a new business. Mm-hmm. But in Iowa, they have a lot of business plan competitions. And one just this last year paid $25,000 for his prize.
Wow.
And, boy, who couldn't use that?
Yeah, I sure could use it.
But they challenge you, you know, to write the executive summary, which included your venture description, your management and organization plan, mm-hmm. your marketing plan, and your financial plan. And then you had to write up in the next chapter, and the next part of your plan was your management and organization. You know, what your legal form of business was, your management team, if you had a board of directors or advisory board, just a little bit about your company, and then about what your product or service plan is, what you offer, and then the marketing plan. Mm-hmm. And we had to do a competitive analysis, so I just went around to all of my competitors, either called them on the phone or got their brochures or whatnot, or emailed them, and asked them what services they provided. Now, when I emailed them, I used a different email address other than my own. I used an alternate and just like I was dual customer.
Right, right.
And that was very good to see what kind of response time you were getting from those businesses. If you never heard from them, chances are you've got them beat. If you can reply to an email from a potential customer that could spend a couple $100, you've got them beat already, because if they don't want the money, I'd certainly take it. But under that market research or competitive analysis, we had to evaluate them on six different, I evaluated them on six different factors: a trust factor, a pricing factor, reliability service factor, free pickup and delivery, if they had specials, and if they were local business. Like Geek Squad, I wouldn't consider local business, mm-hmm. but you know, a mom and pop computer shop, that would be local. And that makes a difference to some people.
In other words, you really weren't just creating a marketing plan. You were actually getting to know who your competitors were and what their strengths and weaknesses were, areas that you could compete with.
Yeah, you have to. I feel anyway, and then I had to rank myself. And I felt that I was trustworthy, and I was loyal, and I had monthly specials, and I had free pickup and delivery, and nine times out of ten, when I gave the machine back to the customer, it worked right the way they wanted to, and I felt I was reasonably priced. What I did was I factored in six businesses, including my own, so I looked at five other businesses, and one was a national chain, the Geek Squad, mm-hmm. and then four other local businesses, and kind of ranked them on, you know, if I got emails back, or if I got, you know, to me, if you don't get an email back or you don't get any communication back, to me, that tells me they don't need your business. So, mm-hmm. and that's important for some people. If your computer is broken and you need to get it fixed right away, who's going to reply? Who's going to be on the spot for you? And it also had to do indirect competition. You know, we have out here in Iowa, if you have an internet provider, that might be local, and they also do computer work, that could be an indirect competition as well.
Mm-hmm. So you really did get to know your competitors by putting this together. What else did you learn from the course?
Learn how to do a little bit of market analysis, where you had to profile who you were going to go after. And I said that I was going to be focusing on three main customer segments. And I live right along a highway, and there's a lot of little bedroom towns between my town and the next town up, or the major city. Well, major for us is 30,000. But there's six towns between my town and that big town, and I'm going to be doing a bulk mail to all those towns, because I know their bedroom communities. I know they drive to Mason City every day, or the bigger town. I know they could probably load their computer up and take it with them to the big box computer stores up there, or they could take my services and have me pick them up free of charge and get them fixed up, because I know how busy they are. And I really wanted to stress that it's a convenience that I offer of doing this. Also, I want to segment the Hispanic population. We have a lot of Hispanics that are in my county, and I've done some of that. And then I also need to regurgitate the computer customers I've had in the past. So I want to send out notices and specifically go after my previous customers. Sometimes we forget about those.
So it really gave you a direction to go. I mean, because we've talked a lot in the past on the show and in forums, the question's always asked, well, how do I market my business? What can I do? You know, sending out flyers, business cards, the whole bit. And for a lot of people that are starting out in the business, that's one of the major obstacles in their way is getting the marketing done, getting the advertising out, getting the word out that they're there. And what you're saying is that the business plan is not just a document, a piece. It really is, in a sense, a plan to give you a direction in how to market your business in your area. It really gives you a solid perspective of what's in your area and how to go after those customers.
I think it's a perfect roadmap for your business, really, because after we did the finding out who the customers were, then the instructor had us do a marketing matrix, plan out every month of the year and what we're going to spend on newspaper, radio, web ads, whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then, like a promotion planner, if there's something coming to your town, like a county fair or graduation or Groundhog Day or March Madness or whatnot, if you're going to have promotions that rotate or revolve around those various events. I mean, if you're going to have a March Madness computer cleanup special, well, you know that's going to be in March or early April, you know. And then tracking what you've done. I've tracked, you know, what I've done on the radio in the past year to this year, a new local newspaper, the Yellow Book, you know, various things like that. And so kind of gives you a good roadmap of how successful your plan is if you can track your expenses and your profit afterwards.
So besides the marketing aspect of it, you learned some financial things about your business and how to manage the financial end of it.
Yes, we had to do a cash flow, which I had never done in my life before, and I'd always seen it in my my Microsoft Money program, but never really knew how to use it, never really understood it, never knew what went into it. And so anyway, we had to do a manual cash flow, which was a big spreadsheet, an Excel spreadsheet, and you put in numbers and it calculated things out, which really showed you what you had to, if you wanted to make X in a year, you had to show what you had to put into it to get that. And that was really valuable because people can say, well, I made this much money, but if at the end of the year you don't have anything to show for it, then maybe your money didn't go to the best spots, or maybe you didn't use it the most wise place you could have used it. So I had to do a three-year cash flow, both manually, and then I did cheat. I copied the print screens of what my Microsoft Money said the cash flow would be, and they pretty much lined up. They were consistent with each other, and the only thing that's not consistent is I've done better than what my cash flow said, so that's always good.
So really, in a nutshell, you really didn't just learn how to put together a business plan. You actually, in a sense, learned how to manage a business.
Yeah, for all practical purposes, yes. But that was just part of the fast track course. I mean, this is what I got graded on. My business plan is 28 pages long, and it includes all this data. So while you may give the bank the executive summary, or you may give your investors the executive summary out of the business plan, you know, I had to do a balance sheet. I had to do a profit and loss statement included with this. So people could actually see how well the business was doing, plus projections of how it will do in the future. So if you're looking for an investor or looking at financing or whatnot, and many people aren't. Many people say, I'm just going to do this myself, and that's that. But at least it will give you a roadmap and a history lesson of your business.
Now, I understand you've been in business for quite a while before you even did this. You were already up and running. It was a well-established business before that. What actually prompted you to take the course?
Just that I had in the back of my mind maybe someday there was going to be a time when I was going to move to a downtown location, or I just wanted to take the business to a different level, and I never knew what any of my numbers really, really meant. And if I was really, what I thought I was doing well, I was. I didn't know what all the numbers I was putting in meant. I'm by no means I'm any sort of accountant. That's probably my weakest skill. But when I got done, you know, the guy says, if you can't tell where your business is on a weekly basis, then you're not in the business to make money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every day after I total up the receipts and put them into my spreadsheet and put them into my Excel documents, and I can exactly see right now where I'm at financially, mid-month or the end of the month or the beginning of the month. You know, on day 10, I know where I'm at that, and that helps.
In our next episode, we'll continue our discussion with Pat and learn more about writing a business plan. We'll find out if the time spent writing the plan was worth the investment, what his business plan told him about his company, and how having a plan even helped him develop an exit strategy, in part two of our four-part series on planning your business. Well, folks, our time is up. I would like to thank everyone for listening, my kids for allowing me to do this without interruptions, and my wife for just putting up with me. If you would like to comment on the program, you can email me at rick@theforcefield.net or visit our website at www.theforcefield.net. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not represent the Force Field, Savoia Computer, or advertisers. All music on the show is original and was written and performed by Brother Rancid and the Brand New Pygmies. Our announcer is Felix DeCat. The show is produced and distributed by Savoia Computer. For the Force Field, I'm Rick Savoia. May the Force Field be with you.